2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 1 to 15. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring about to completion the act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake, your sakes, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. For as it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little.
Do sit down. And it'd be a great help to me, and I trust to you as well, to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's page 817 in the Red Bibles. Everyone got 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Well, before we look at God's word together, let's pray and let's ask for his help. Dear Father, we thank you so much that because you love us, you give us your word, you give us the Bible. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us now, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would see more of your Son. And we pray that what we see of him would melt our hearts, that we would love him, that we would love him more because of what he's like, because of what he's done. And we pray that for the honor of his precious name. Amen. Okay, everybody, who knows how many sleeps till Christmas? I trust everyone's got the Sleeps Till Christmas app on their phone. Who knows how many it is? How can you not know? How many sleeps? 21. Bang on. Okay, so Christmas is a-coming. And today we're going to look at a passage in the Bible that tells us a little bit about what Christmas is about. And it turns out Christmas is about a rich man who became poor. Did you know that? Christmas is about a rich man who became poor. Think of it like this. I've been given a packet of Jaffa cakes by my wife. And that makes me rich. I'm a rich man. Whole packet of Jaffa cakes, yeah? And I can have a very happy time peeling off the chocolate top and licking the orange jelly. I can have a very happy time doing that. But if I was kind and gracious, I would probably share these Jaffa cakes out, yeah? So what if I share something? Who likes Jaffa cakes? Anyone like a Jaffa cake? I just share out the Jaffa cakes. Not so many takers around the front. Tim, you like a Jaffa cake? What you need to know is there's lots of vitamin C in a Jaffa cake. Three Jaffa cakes is one of your five a day portions. So if anyone's worrying about this not being terribly healthy, that's just not true. Anyone else want some? I'm so sorry, missing all my friends over here who are desperate for a bit of vitamin C. That's very good. And don't forget, you need to peel the top off and really lick the orange. That's good. Do you like a Jaffa cake? Have some here as well. And I'm just worried about here that these guys, Jaffa cakes. Brilliant. So that's great. So I was really rich, had all those Jaffa cakes, and I've shared them out, and it's left me poor. It's left me without any Jaffa cakes at all. That's not great, is it? But that is what Christmas is all about. I was rich, I had Jaffa cakes, and then I gave them away. And ended up poor. And Christmas is about a rich man who gives all his riches away and ends up poor. Paul reminds us of, do you see in verse 9? He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace is a word that means Jesus Christ is very kind, so kind that he gives things away. And you see how Paul explains it in verse 9? "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." See, I was rich, had Jaffa cakes, gave them away, became poor. And that's Jesus. He was rich, but so kind that he gave his riches away. And you say, well, hold on. Jesus was rich? That's not right, is it? What are you talking about? He was born in a barn. I mean, didn't they lay him in a feeding trough? Didn't they cover him in straw? I mean, it doesn't sound like he was very rich. Who ever heard of a rich person being born in a barn? A friend of mine was born in a taxi, but I've never heard of anyone being born in a barn. But the point is, before he was born, he was very rich. See, the baby whose birth we celebrate at Christmas isn't just any old baby. He's the Son of God. And what that means is, before he was born, he was with his Father God in heaven since before the beginning of time. And he was very rich. Now, I wonder if I could ask somebody to come and help me. And it needs to be someone who's very good at standing and very good at sitting. Could I have someone who's very good at standing and very good at sitting? I haven't got my glasses on, so I'm not very good at long-distance seeing. So you come over here. I can see an enthusiast. I need one. Whoa. I need one volunteer. So I need some parental help here. Who could be the... Who would like to... I think I've had you quite a bit recently. I'm going to go with... tell us all your name.
Wilfie,
come and stand over here, and I might be able to get some more volunteers in. You'll see, okay? Right, Jesus was very rich. Stand here in front of the chair, but you need to be good at standing and good at sitting. Jesus was very rich because he had a crown. He had a crown. His father gave him a crown. He was the king of a kingdom that would shine forever and ever and ever, and that makes him very rich. He held the whole world in his hands. Hold it carefully. Don't drop the world. Okay? The Father gave his Son the world. Did you know that? The whole world was made for Jesus. Every star, every planet, every mountain, every valley, every sea, every river, every forest, every field, every town, every home, all made for Jesus. It's all his, all belongs to him. That makes him very, very rich. So his father gave him a crown. His father gave him the whole world. But best of all, his father gave him his heart. See if we can just hook that round a finger like that. Brilliant. Brilliant. The father loves his son. From before the beginning of time, from further back than any of us could even imagine, God the Father always loved his son. And when God the Father loves you with his always and forever love, you are rich. Jesus was rich. Jesus is very rich. But Paul says, you know his grace. You know that he's very kind. And you know how he gives things away. Well, that's what he did. He gave all his Jaffa cakes away. Meant he became poor. He'd been given a crown, but he was so kind, he gave away his crown. At that first Christmas, he came to be born as a baby, and he wasn't even born in a palace. And he was born into a world where people didn't bow before him. Instead of bowing before him, they mocked him. They wanted to get rid of him. They whipped him, and they nailed him to a cross like a common criminal. He gave up his crown. And he'd been given the whole world, but he gave up the whole world. So he was born in a straw. As a child, he was a refugee on the run. He said when he grew up, he said that he had nowhere to lay his head, no home, no bed. And when they killed him, do you remember? They buried him in a borrowed grave. And he'd been given the love of his father, but he's so kind that he gave up being loved. He was born into a world where people didn't love him. They rejected him. He was misunderstood by his family. And you remember, his best friend handed him over to be killed. And when they killed him, do you remember what he cried out? My God, why have you forsaken me? He'd only ever known the riches of his father's smile. And on the cross, those were the riches he was prepared to give up. Lots of people, they give, don't they? They give to charity, they give money, but they kind of give their spare change. It doesn't make them poor. They hardly notice it. But Jesus gave up so much of his riches that it made him poor. Do you see? Left him with nothing. And the question is, why did he do it? Why did he do it? You can sit on the chair now. You've been good at standing. I want to see if you're good at sitting, Wilfie, okay? Have a look at verse 9. Why did he do it? In the middle of verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes. That's for me and for you, for us. That's why he did it. Christmas is about a rich man who became poor. You see, yet for your sakes he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Christmas is about a rich man who became poor so that we could become rich. So I need another volunteer, someone else who's quite good at standing and quite good at sitting. Did I have some enthusiasm over here? Yeah. Somebody come and show us you're good at standing and good at sitting. Great. Now tell everyone your name.
Alexander.
Are you going to get good at standing? Face everyone. So Jesus had a crown. Remember, he was the king who would reign forever. But without him, we're poor because we're not going to live forever. We face death. And he gave away his crown. Why? Well, do you know? Now, is that going to fit on your head? Stay very still. That's very good. He gave away his crown so we could wear crowns, so that we could become princes and princesses in his kingdom that's going to last forever. See how he's made us rich? Jesus owned the world, and without him, we were poor. Oh, we might have owned a few toys, perhaps a Nerf gun or a Hatchimal or maybe a bike. How do we do that? Why don't you just sling that under your arm like that? That's one of the other ways that kings wear crowns. They just sort of put it over their elbows like that. That's the sort of relaxed way. It's the modern way. What was I saying? He owned the world, and we own a few things like Nerf guns and Hatchimals and a bike, perhaps, or maybe you've got a car or a house. We all own toys, but they're all toys that will one day break and turn to dust. And you see, he came to give us the whole world. He says that one day, in the world that he's come to give us, there'll be no more tears. No more pain, no more turning of things to dust. He will make it all new, and he'll make it all new for us to enjoy with him forever. So can you hold on to the world? Because that's what we've been given, a whole new world. Do you see how he's made us rich? And he was loved by his Father, and we were poor. We were poor because without him, we didn't know God's love. In fact, the way we'd ignored God means we were shut out from God's love. But on the cross, do you remember what he cried out? My God, why have you forsaken me? Do you see? He was shut out so we could be welcomed in, so we could enjoy God's love. Now, can we see if we can find a way? Should we balance that on there so that we can enjoy God's love? Would it help to sit, do you think? Yes, do that. Brilliant. Friends, it is a wonderful thing to be loved by God. You may feel sometimes your parents are a little bit disappointed in you. Or you may have people at school who tease you. You may have someone you're married to who doesn't really get you. But if you know that God loves you with his always and forever love, you are rich. You are rich. Do you see? He became poor so that we might become rich. And many of us will be given lovely presents this Christmas, won't we? But most of them will be fun for a while, then the batteries will run out and they'll break. And what's true of Christmas presents is actually true for so much of life, isn't it? So maybe for you, you've had a hard year and you don't feel like you have much. You're feeling poor. Christmas says, think again. If you have Jesus, you're not poor, you are rich, you have a crown, you are going to reign with him forever. Think of the world, you have the prospect of a whole new world to look forward to. And best of all, remember the heart. You are loved by your Father in heaven. You're rich, you've got true riches. You can't be fired from riches like that. They're not going to get stolen, they're not going to go rusty, and they're not going to be repossessed. They won't be ruined by ill health, and even death won't be able to touch riches like that. You're rich. Do you get that? I don't know what you think of God. Many people think that God is cruel, don't they? They think God is out to take from us. Well, look at Jesus, and you see what God is like. And you see he is the God who's not out to take. He's the God who gives, prepared to give up everything, make himself poor, that we might become rich. What a great God. Here's a moment for you guys to go and sit down. Thank you so much for your help. Good standing, good sitting. Now, the question is this. Why does Paul tell the people he's writing to all this? Well, he knows there are people in desperate need. And he wants the people he's writing to give to those people in desperate need. So have a look at verses 10 to 12. He says, here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Do you see? He wants them to give a gift. Now, what happens is we hear about people who are poor and in desperate need, and we think, well, I can't really help, not me, because I haven't got anything to spare. You know, I've got to hold on to what I've got. In fact, I'm rather poor myself. And Paul says, no, you're not poor. Jesus has made you rich. All that he has given you sets you free to give to others. Think of it like this. Now, I need another volunteer. Who likes Jaffa cakes? I need two volunteers who like Jaffa cakes. There's nobody who likes... I can see a friendly hand at the back. Come to the front. Whoever you are, I can't see. I think it's... Is it Eva? I can't see. It's a toss-up between being able to see people at the back or see my notes. It's Eva, isn't it? Yes. And now, who else? I need someone else. I can see a smiley hand, if you can have smiley hands. Is that? That's Matthew. Matthew, come and join us at the front. Now, you stand there and there. And I may need to get the other microphone. Is this microphone working? Okay, here's a thing. Eva, I'm going to give you one Jaffa cake. Now, if I told you, here is your one Jaffa cake. Do you like Jaffa cakes? Very much? Yeah. There's your Jaffa cake. And if I said to you, you're going to have to give that, you're going to have to give one Jaffa cake to Matthew. How would you feel about that? How would you feel about that?
Don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it. I think we can understand that. That makes sense. We can relate. Don't feel bad about that. We can relate to that. Okay. How about I gave you a whole packet of Jaffa cakes, and now I said, how do you feel about giving one Jaffa cake to Matthew?
I don't mind that.
You don't mind now. You don't mind. Of course you don't mind. You've got a whole packet of Jaffa cakes. Yeah. Well, take them as a kind of consolation prize. Hand them out later. You guys go and sit down. Matthew, you'll get your Jaffa cake. You guys go and sit down. Now, do you see the difference? When Eva had one Jaffa cake, she was kind of reluctant to give the Jaffa cake to Matthew, but whole packet of Jaffa cakes, yeah, I'll give him a Jaffa cake. And you see, that's us. We think we're people who've only got one Jaffa cake. And it makes us very slow to want to give away to other people. And what Christmas says is we're people who've got a whole packet of Jaffa cakes. And when you get that, when you see how much he has given us, it sets you free to give to others. So the way to celebrate Christmas, actually, is to take in all that he's given us and then find ways of giving to others. Now, what I've got now is two ideas of how to put that into practice. One idea for the youngsters, and one idea for the adults. And to help me with the idea for the youngsters, Tim and Susanna. I need to rebuild the microphone. There we go, one of those. And one of those. Nope.
Thank you, Mike, very much indeed. We represent Fingerprints in Uganda, and we have been asked to give a little bit of a background and tell you of our latest project. So I don't know if you're visual learners, but this is going to really help Tim as well. So off you go. Go, babe.
In 2008, Susanna and I set out from Bristol. We flew 4,000 miles to Kampala, in Uganda, and went to the town of Jinja. Uganda is on the equator. It's in the middle of Africa, and therefore it's in the middle of the world. Susanna went to work in schools, and I went to work for a firm that looked after people who had been arrested and were unable to represent themselves. We noticed as we walked through the town of Jinja that there were a large number of children who had no parents, they had no home, and no one to look after them. And so we decided, with God's help, and it was with God's help and a lot of prayer, to help them. And that's where you came in. Because the people of Emmanuel Church opened up their hearts and their wallets and gave us generously enough to start a house in Jinja for these orphaned girls. And the girls were so happy and grateful for what you have done that they called the house Emmanuel House. So this church has a house in the middle of the world, in the middle of Africa, on the equator. In time, as some of the girls grew older, we needed another house, and again, through divine providence, we have a second house, which we called Mumaso House. Mumaso is Ugandan for moving on. And so the older girls, the secondary school and the college students, now live in Mumaso House. Over to you, darling.
Okay, hang on to that. Hand on. Good. So over the years, at Christmas time, we have sent over gifts to them and had quite a lot of trouble with the... who are those people who stop stuff coming in and want bribes? Customs, them. And so we thought, okay, well, we're going to get you. We're not having this. So it was Isabel Evans, who is just a pride and joy person to us, had this wonderful idea of setting up something called Shepherd's Purse, whereby for 1 month the children in Emmanuel are really, really nice and really, really helpful at home, for which they are paid. And money is put into the purse. And this then pays for clothes for the girls, because once a year they have fresh new clothes. The rest of the time it's third and fourth hand, that things that even Oxfam don't want. So they get to choose. Do you want to hold that one?
Yep.
They get to choose their own fabric, and my great friend Annette makes them wonderful outfits. And these were the outfits that they had in January this year. These are the outfits they will probably be wearing at Christmas, because I think we're a bit tight on time now. And they are absolutely thrilled with this. Now, we have brought along with us somebody called Barbara.
Barbara.
Barbara, who is related to all the sheep on the hill above Bethlehem. And that same hill was the hill where David worked all those years ago as well. So that's really exciting. Now, I have got message.
Hello, Emmanuel Church. These are girls from Emmanuel House. We send greetings to Aunt Susanna and Uncle Tim and to all of you. We appreciate for the gifts that you give to us on Christmas days. May God bless you. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Isn't that lovely? That came during the week to encourage us all. Now, Barbara has on her head something we're going to slightly change. From having Shepherd's Purse, we're going to have Shepherd's Socks. Okay, so we would be really grateful if you could go home and rootle amongst the wash basket if you're not as tidy, or in the sock drawer if you are tidy, and find a sock. And would you fill it with money and be good and kind and helpful and everything? And then bring it back. We reckon perhaps the 8th of January would be lovely. So you've got a whole month to do it. And that would be wonderful. And then the girls will have fresh, clean clothes in fabric that they have chosen themselves. And they will be thrilled. So please join in this Jaffa Cake moment. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. There's one idea, how to respond. Oh, I've left my Bible behind. What have I done with my Bible? There's one idea of how to respond. I've got another idea. This is more for the grown-ups. And I need to talk a little bit about giving to the mission of Emmanuel, our church. Can I just say, if you're a visitor here this afternoon, it's great to have you here. It really is. This you can tune out now. This bit is not for you. This is for regulars. Now, it may be your first thought is, hold on. It's one thing to give to others who are in need, like the girls we've been hearing about in Uganda, but to give to Emmanuel Church sounds like we're kind of giving to ourselves. No, we often say, don't we, we want to be a church for people who don't go to church. In other words, we exist to reach out and to serve the people who are not here, to share with them the good news of Jesus. So to give to church is not to kind of give to our little club so we can have nice carpets and plush books and things like that. It's to give to resource our mission. And yes, resourcing our mission includes equipping and training us, the people here, but we're equipping and training each other so that we can reach out, so that we can serve the city, this great city of ours, where people are in desperate need, and their biggest need is to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Without him, they are lost. The situation is quite sobering. It looks like we're going to be facing a deficit at the end of this year's financial year, about £35,000, about 8% of our budget. And you see, we would love to grow, because we would love to reach out to more people in this city. And if we don't reduce the deficit, if we carry in into next year, not only will it be really hard to grow, but we may have to cut back on some of the stuff we're already doing, which probably means cutting back on staff. Don't mishear that. We're not saying that staff are the people who do all the reaching out. But what staff do is they create relational capacity. So growing a church is all about growing relationships. And you think of people who are not yet Christians or people who are very young Christians, and if they're going to grow, what they need is people to get alongside them and open the Bible with them and share their lives with them. And sometimes you get to a stage in the life of a church where you're looking at all the people who need to be nurtured, and you're thinking of all the people who could do that, but you realize they don't have the capacity, they don't have the time, because they're already giving themselves to nurturing all kinds of other people. And that's when you appoint staff members. They're not special or anything, you're just releasing them to have a bit more time, a bit more capacity to get alongside people, to grow relationships, to build people up, equip them, so that in turn, they are in a position where they can build others up and equip them. And that's how you grow the church. So losing staff is serious because it means less capacity to grow. Now you might ask, why do we face a deficit? And you might think, well, it's because we're trying to buy the meeting house. We shouldn't be trying to buy the meeting house, this building in the center of town. I'm not sure that's the sort of explanation. We've tried to keep meeting house finances separate from ongoing finances. It seems to me there are good long-term reasons for buying a building in the center of the city. One of our trustees is a guy who heads up church planting in the FIEC, which is the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, and he's reporting that all over the country where people are planting churches, they are trying to buy buildings. And that's because schools and public places are just increasingly wary of hiring themselves to religious organizations. So he sees the opportunity to buy the meeting house as a great chance to secure a base for gospel ministry from which to reach out to the city for years to come. It's a bit like your home. At home, you need a budget for food, and you also need to budget for fixing the roof. I mean, you'd rather not spend any money on fixing a roof. You'd rather just buy lots more food. But if the house is going to work as a home long term, you probably need to attend to the roof. And in church life, we would love just to spend all our money on people, on ministry, but for the sake of securing long-term ministry, we need to spend money on fixing the roof. We need to buy a building. So buying the meeting house must have had some impact. I don't think it's had a huge impact, but must have had some on our ongoing giving. I think the key things have been some of the setup grants that we had have been phasing out and now coming to the point of being phased out. We've lost people who were giving very significantly, and we've got people who are giving very sacrificially, but it's very striking there's a significant proportion of people who are not giving at all. So in other words, we've become quite a large operation, but sustained by just a few, which means if a few of those really important givers leave, we face challenges. I think one of the things is we've never been in deficit before, because the Lord has always provided amazingly, and I wonder if we have just grown complacent, and that's why we're facing a deficit this year, because we just assume it's all going to be fine. So I think this deficit is very, very good for us. It's a great blessing. Do you see why? Verse 8, Have you got your Bibles open? Paul says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to, do you see, test the sincerity of your love. This is going to be very good for us. Because what we do with our money is a great test of whether our love is for real. It's quite easy to say, we love the Lord. We love the lost in our city. But if you want to know what someone really loves, look at what they do with their money. So this is going to be a great kind of reality check for us as a church, this challenge. And it's really sobered me. And can I say, I'm not saying this just because I want the money to come in. I'm really not, actually. What's really exercised me is I'm saying this because I'm worried about what it says about the state of our hearts. We want our love for him to be for real. Don't you want to be for real? The good news is, Paul says in verse 12, or end of verse 11, we're to give according to our means. We're to give according to our means. So it's not all about everyone giving the same amount and looking at someone who's able to give a lot and feeling burdened by that. We're to give according to our means. But if you're not giving at all to the cause of the gospel, if you're not giving to reach those who are desperately needy because they don't know about the Lord Jesus, what does that say about our hearts? If we get Christmas, if we get how he became poor for our sakes, if we get all the riches he's given us, the Jaffa cakes, then we will be people who will be set free to give. Not just loose change, but so that we go without. So can I urge us all to take one of the forms that's tucked into the sheets, go home, go to the Lord, and pray, Lord, please show me my heart. Show me what I really love. So friends, if we're giving already, are we giving in a way that is costing us? If we're not giving, what does that say about what we really love? Be a great prayer to pray this Christmas that the Lord would open our eyes to see all the Jaffa cakes he's given us, and that that would set us free to be people who give to others, give to those who are desperately in need, those who need to hear about the Lord Jesus. Let's pause there, and I'm going to pray. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Lord Jesus, we praise you for what you're like, for your grace, for your kindness in becoming poor for us. And we pray this Christmas you'd open our eyes again to see how rich you have made us. I pray that that would make us people who thank you and praise you and whose lives are marked by being generous. We pray that for the honor of your great name. Amen.